We're running a little bit late. So the first thing I want to do is approval of minutes from the July 1st, 2019 meeting. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I will pass those around. What I'd like to do this evening is get through the first three resolutions, and then Sheriff Figueroa. Sure. Very generously offered to come and have a conversation with us about the Secures contract for inmate phone and tablet services, which gets at a kind of larger philosophical issue as well, and that is the costs that inmates are paying for these sorts of services, including services from the commissary or other services. So. While we might be talking specifically about the phone contract, I think it certainly has broader philosophical implications, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come. So let's deal with the first resolution, which is resolution number 344. This is emergency management.
I'll move it.
Second.
Is there any discussion? This is to an extended agreement for lease of space for microwave equipment on Illinois Mountain Tower in Lloyd.
Yeah, no, I don't have any.
It's pretty pro forma. The Illinois Mountain has extended some of the service into Highland, into Plattekill, Marlboro. It's areas that, down along the Route 9W corridor have been spotty with service over the years. So we contracted with a company that has a tower there for things like cell phones and whatnot, and we have a repeater there for the emergency communications.
Did we move this?
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, in second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Pass that around. We've got Resolution 356, an agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for Homeland Security Program, again, emergency communications and emergency management.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? No.
This is just, for the purposes of the tape and everybody here, this is interoperability funding that we get. We're part of a interoperability zone with, I believe, Sullivan, Delaware, Greene, and Ulster counties. It's about interoperable communications between the counties, and each county has a piece that they do with the state funding that comes down.
So all of our communications,
I hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Illinois Tower.
This is the interoperability
funding for Homeland Security.
SHSB grant. It's the statewide interoperable communications grant. It's a formula based. So every county within the state, they've changed the way that they distribute the funding.
With the equipment we purchase, we can speak with the equipment from another county? Is that, if you could dial it down?
That whole interoperable program, yes, you're absolutely correct. They want the counties to be interconnected with national interop frequencies.
Okay.
So that whole funding and the whole interoperable communications program is all about that.
And that comes out of 9/11, am I correct, where there was not...
The surcharge funding?
Yeah, where we didn't have interoperable communication.
Based on.
But this is for the county to receive the funding. It's non-matching, right?
That's 100%.
Yeah,
it's 100%. It's us receiving money.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I'm not going to argue with receiving money. That's all good. Did we move second?
We're good.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
Yeah, all, good.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, last one. This is for Project Give, New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services. I have here, thank you to Jay for providing this, an explanation of the program. Unfortunately, everyone from the district attorney's office is out in the field and unavailable. So I'll just quickly read here the statement provided. This is a GIVE grant, a continuing grant that we've had for the last 15 years in cooperation with the Sheriff's Office and the Department of Probation. The funding is geared toward partnership, crime reduction. Our office will continue to be dedicated to the prosecutions of gangs, guns, and violent crime matters within the GIVE zone, and will continue to interact regularly with all law enforcement within Ulster County, as well as provide a point of accessible contact with various community and community outreach groups, making them a greater part of the enforcement initiatives established by this office. So that is kind of a very general sense of the program, but it has been ongoing for 15 years. And here are some of the goals and objectives. Funding will provide support for a full-time EDA to handle prosecutions pursuant to GIVE initiative to include aggravated assault, guns, gangs, and violent crimes. DA prosecutors, well, DA investigators, all trained and experienced in aggravated assaults and domestic violence issues. I have a motion to consider.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion, concerns?
I just think it sounds great.
That's how you do program.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Pass that around. Just before we turn to our discussion with Sheriff Figueroa, I just want to note that we took a really fantastic tour of our 9/11 communications building. And it seems to me that everyone who's working there is doing an incredible job. But it is also a situation where there's limited space, for sure. And there are some issues that I think future legislatures, especially as we move toward budget time, are going to have to consider, including the idea that we might want to start thinking about bringing together, and you can, if I'm missing something or you want to fill in any gaps, please feel free, but the idea that we should have our emergency services, and I always get the acronyms confused, so I apologize, but our dispatchers should be in the same space, ideally, with emergency services in the, the sheriff's office.
The communications.
Communications.
To have communications all together would be
ideal.
Better for operations as a whole for the entire county.
Particularly in times of crisis, there's a hurricane, some major event. Ideally, it would be great to have another staff member where the head supervisors are both working and supervising, especially dispatching calls from the Kingston Fire Department, so that would be something that we should be thoughtful about in the future. And the other issue, which is a more delicate one, and one that didn't come up but we're aware of, which is there's sometimes a pay disparity that can be difficult to retain. To retain 911 dispatchers, they do an incredibly very stressful job, and to make sure that there's not pay disparity both within the county government and outside of it, that there's some sort of baseline. Also, I think is something we've got to be thoughtful about as well. So, is there something else you would want to say? Hey, think about this.
Yeah, that's a good highlight at this point. I thank the committee for coming up.
It's great we get these tours and we sort of go through and we interrupt your day, but they're really fascinating and helpful to us, so really thank you so much. Did you want to add something, Sheriff?
Sure. I think it's great to have everyone in the same building, but also realize that it's going to also start a domino effect of office space there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have eight assistant district attorneys in the building, we share space with county safety, parking spaces are limited, so of course to make that move is going to cost a lot of money to expand.
This is
getting
lost
on here.
right. That was one of the big components of the discussion. You'd have to change the building in some way. You'd have to add on in some way, or maybe there'd have to be a new building, and none of this is inexpensive, and it's not lost on anyone. So. Exactly.
But just in terms of, I think, really the discussion was driven along in terms of what would be best practices in an ideal.
Right.
But I agree. It would be good to have all in one location.
Yeah. I mean, you were following the lead of my question, which was, what's the ideal? If you were in a candy store and you had all the money in the world, what's your ideal?
Right. So ultimately, to be able to manage an incident, a 911 call that's law enforcement sensitive, having that open communication amongst one another. And just getting a full sense of what's happening in the county, that's taken to a local agency or at the sheriff's department in a 911 incident, right? Having that all together while within the same floor space, still having their separate operations, but together if there's a need to communicate. Better communications.
The ideal for the sort of public good. Welcome, Sheriff. I don't know how you want to begin this, if you'd like me to just sort of begin, or you'd like to make a comment before we start, or whatever makes sense to you.
Like to talk a little bit about the opioid plan that I put out. I'm sure you have a copy of it.
We did. Would you like to start there?
So we could start
there. Yeah, let's start there, and then
we'll
back into
submitted?
Stuff. I'm sorry?
Was there something submitted?
Did you guys all get a copy?
Yes, there was an email that went out. Here, it looks like this.
I got that now. Yeah.
So, gave the sheriff's office permission to apply for a grant. The grant, we're not going to know about it until September. So, one of the things I was elected on is to get things done, and I didn't think waiting for a grant that could be a Hail Mary, because there's 150 of them that are going to be issued throughout the whole country. You know, we should wait for that or start the plan right away. So I decided that it probably be a good idea to get this thing rolling, especially with the county fair that's coming up. So in conjunction with the Sheriff's Foundation, that's a 501c3, we had folks donate for the specific purposes of the oil grant, which is detailed in the opioid response as law enforcement. And so we got enough donations to purchase a trailer the Friday before, and we were already planning on what we wanted done, and a lot of folks went to, I think we trained over or pretty close to 100 folks, Narcan trained, while at the county fair.
Wow.
The purpose of the trailer is to take it to the people, and you don't want to make it specifically just for that. You want it to be at a county fair or a garlic festival, or Hope Rocks, or Harambee has something in the city of Kingston. So when people walk by, a lot of people don't want to look at this stuff in the mirror. They're afraid to even think about it. But if you're going to another event and you happen to see it, it's the way the human mind kind of works. It's a, you know what, I think I may have a problem in my home. Let me go see what they're doing there. And what we're doing there is prevention and education. And the trailer is a mock bathroom and bedroom. It starts out with partners Ryan, R-Y-A-N, and Not My Child, who, and most of the folks that are from the sheriff's office actually had someone in their own family that went through the same afflictions. They have a tremendous understanding of what families went through. This plan is not just for the individuals that are afflicted, but it's for their families too, so they know who to call and what they need to do to try and get help, whether it's People's Ink or Samadhi. So this first phase of the overall plan is to, again, it's a prevention, education, people go through after they talk to the Ryan folks and Not My Child folks. They get Narcan trained and they walk them through what to look for. If a loved one lives in your house, which you have every right to look and see if you think there's an issue and what to look for, because most folks don't know what to look for. And after that training is done, we give them a card with all the different resources that are available to them. And it was quite the hit at the fair. We had over, like I said, I think it was close to 100 folks that were Narcan trained. It got to the point that we had to do one per family because we were running out of kits.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's not untypical.
What I'm going to ask is that this is going to be donated. This trailer is going to be donated at no cost to the county from the Sheriff's Foundation to the county, and I'll have that all written up and ready for you, hopefully at the next meeting for a resolution. And if you had any questions on that, I'm all ears.
That sounds fantastic. That's really very exciting.
And I really thank the men and women that worked for me. They made it happen, I told them.
Yeah.
They're done, and they were absolutely amazing.
They
made it happen. The First Sergeant Chad Story, Pat Carroll, who works in the building downstairs.
Yeah.
Wilbur Putzman Jr., all these guys, they were amazing.
Yeah.
Put it together, and it was in there within 48 hours.
It's amazing, too, very thoughtful that you put people in there who had some sort of close experience with it. That seems enormously, you know, thoughtful. Yeah, go.
Just to stay on this and the, you know, and the fair in general, just I wanted to thank the sheriff, you know, and all your guys for the great job that they did there between the canine team and the dive team. You know, I know the dive team, it's really... It's a really great place to have, you know, your guys as ambassadors for law enforcement, you know, and you really, you know, right down to playing tic-tac-toe from inside the tank with the kids. I mean, it's just, you know, it seems silly, but it's a really nice way to get the youth interaction with law enforcement in a positive way right in the beginning. So
thank you. Issues of the fair. Especially in particular Thursday night, we had found the covers in the crowd.
Yeah.
We had, you know, patrols in the parking lots because there were a lot of issues with break-ins and you know, even in regular the railways and the walkways.
Yeah.
In the past, there's a gang that's operating in and around the area, so we decided that we're going to make sure to focus in on that. So it was a great event. Nobody got hurt. And we had a little girl that got lost, and we found her.
That happens.
We also had a heroin arrest.
Wow.
Had a heroin overdose, did you say?
No. Arrest.
Arrest. Oh, arrest. Oh,
yeah. 87 decks of heroin.
Yep.
Wow.
Selling it inside the fair.
Wow, that's...
So it was successful. Nobody, like I said, nobody got hurt.
People make
no major issues.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
We can move on to the
next
topic.
Okay, so again, thank you for all of this information. That's wonderful to know and really helpful for us as a committee to put out there that this is going on.
Now, one last note. The way it's written in the narrative is not in the sequence that the purposes of the grant we wanted to put back. And it is in there. The 1-800 number is phase two.
Uh-huh.
Jails phase three, and then we're going to follow the folks out of the 6 months, but it's all right now.
Okay, great. So we've got phase one. Right. Okay.
Are we going to talk about any of the other phases now?
We could. I
don't want to put you on the spot. No, if you
can speak about it, sure.
Well, first I'd like to say that, you know, in my opinion, and having, you know, followed this crisis, however you'd like to, put a label on it, the heroin and opioid epidemic that's been plaguing us, I really believe it's important to have the education and prevention. I really think that a lot really needs to start going into that. Is this all leading up to the MAT? Is this
that
part
is,
of the same?
That is in there, but the MAT is going to be not just the Suboxone and Methadone. You know, we obviously do have some reservations on how that. We want to make sure we do it right.
Yeah.
There are going to be other phases of that, like
Is now the time to talk about that, or do you want to come back at a different point in time to discuss that? Because I do really have a lot of concerns with that point of it.
So do we.
Maybe we could do this. Maybe you could. Would you feel comfortable giving him just a sense, maybe, of what they were, and then you could at least know what they are,
sure.
And you could either shortly, or you could decide to respond later. It's up to you.
Absolutely.
Can you do that?
I'd like to first also say that... you know, I'd like to respect everybody's path to recovery, because for each and every other individual, it's completely separate. Everyone's path to recovery is different. And I've shared this before. I have some concerns with bringing MATs into the jail, and not to say that everybody does, and I know that there are certain people that do. What model would we be basing this off of? Is this the same model, like Albany County model?
We're going to look at Albany County, Monroe County, but we have to have other options.
Okay.
And treatment is the key.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily
multi-pronged approach.
Right. It's not going to be all one-sided, because we feel, and I have a pretty diverse team, feel that it should be. There are some folks and concerns that a lot of these drugs, whether it's methadone, Suboxone, or actually the pharmaceutical companies are pushing them. So, you know, we're mindful of what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We want to do it right. We want to do what's working, because what we have been doing has not been working.
Correct.
And so that's why we have to be open-minded. As difficult as that is for us in law enforcement, I understand your concerns. We are aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at what's working. The people demand that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving forward, when you start to refine more of what your plan will look like within the jail, will we be able to have that conversation?
Absolutely.
I don't know if right now tonight is that. I have a couple of ideas that go on inside my head as to what I'd like, and I could share with the committee, but I don't want to take up everyone's time right now if it's not the appropriate time. You know, it's no small thing bringing MATs into jail, and I know that you're aware of this also.
By the way, we have a phase two, and that focuses on people pulling us up so we can get somebody into rehab and help the family themselves with the issues that they have with someone that's affected.
Oh.
Because if you, you know, first responders and all allowed, they give us information through the HIPAA rules. So mm-hmm. the 1-800 number kind of going to supersede that, where someone can just pick up the phone and call up.
For and rehabilitation?
72 hours of an overdose. This way, again, it's another prevention
measure.
Idea and plan that we want to put in place. So when we get out there, it's going to be an intel thing. It's not about arresting people. It's about getting them help and trying to get them off before they end up in the old scam.
And would that phase two, Sheriff, be part of the PARI network?
Exactly.
It would be, yeah.
Very similar.
That'd be good.
Right.
Very
yeah.
similar. Even detox, perhaps. I know we're limited on beds. That's been a constant issue that we've faced here mm-hmm. in Ulster County. There's not. I think there's 18 or 21 beds in Benny right now, and oftentimes they're full. So that's another challenging issue that we have to face as well. But I commend you on your efforts, and I really think it's time to start something new because, you know, we've been working at this for a while, and
we're not going to rush into that,
okay.
that side of it.
Okay.
Do our homework, you know, and I'll come back and discuss it with you folks.
Okay.
Let you know what we're thinking about doing. But it's going to be a multifaceted.
It has to be.
It's not just all going to be one way.
Yeah.
Because not every hat fits everyone.
Okay.
I mean, we all have different size hats, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What was the other county you said you were looking at their model?
Monroe. And if I'm correct, they focus the program in a sense. Got a lot of recognition because of how it handles post-incarceration. Am I correct? Yeah. So it's more of a capture, it sets up the program, and correct me if I'm wrong. It's almost like a means, like a capturing mechanism to continue to further, because the problem, really, I've seen a lot of programs with like vitriol and such like that, is once you have them captured in a moment of willingness and
Follow-up.
Follow-up aspect. Once
well,
they leave...
quite honestly, for me...
So Monroe set up a system...
That they follow them through recovery?
Yeah, but I mean, again, I believe it still, by law, has to be voluntary.
Oh, yeah, it would always
you know,
have
there's
to
no,
be.
There's no mechanism to force that inmate
right.
to continue
right.
that post-incarceration.
Discharge planning.
Yeah, it's like a whole discharge planning type, but really capturing that opportunity
and
to
and
work
they have
with
the
them.
Same medical vendor that we use.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. we're going to, you know, take a ride out there, see what they're doing, see what works, what doesn't work. And at some point, though, we realize that the state has already talked about mandating this in all correctional facilities.
Mm-hmm. MATs?
Yeah.
Can
with
we just
no,
be clear about what MATs
oh,
is?
Oh, medicated assistant
yeah.
treatment. So it would be Vivitrol, which is like a monthly injection. It's a blocker.
Right.
Which we currently offer, correct?
We do, but it's very expensive.
It's yeah. very expensive, yeah.
Suboxone,
which is, you know, a dissolvable wafer on the tongue type thing.
Methadone.
What was that?
Methadone.
Yeah, methadone.
The issue with these is winter on, it's very, very difficult.
Well, that's my, that's more difficult
so that's
to control and, you know.
As well.
Did you say difficult to control?
Difficult to withdraw.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
That's my
biggest concern is that you now put all these people onto a medication
that they're dependent on.
It's like a swap out.
But therein lies the whole issue with MATs and different things. People will say, well, if you're diabetic, do you ever come off of insulin if you're dependent? So that's where the whole issue starts. But
so this MAT will be based to folks that are not going to go through a state correctional facility. Because they're not allowed to accept those that are on that. Exactly.
State corrections don't.
A lot of facets to this thing.
Right.
Lots of facets.
But the state is mandating.
They're
going to
mandate.
Not accept.
But not mandate them.
But we're talking,
of course, that's
not
typical
folks
of the state.
Not folks in the state facility,
right?
But folks in the local.
Yeah.
The keep them from coming. Mm-hmm. And there are some success rates. Let's not shut it down completely because in Albany County, it is working.
It does work. So.
But it sounds like it's premised on contact, continued follow-up.
Continued services.
And recovery really is. You have to work any program, no matter whether it's a 12-step program, whether it's a medication-type program. You know, that combined with...
Or a combination.
With, yeah, it's a multi-pronged approach, and it's
ongoing.
And it's most folks that are addicted, it takes around 8 times before they actually get off the stuff.
Wow.
So it's a big job.
8 times.
It's
wow.
a big job.
Wow. Did you want to say more? It's okay
no,
to say more.
No, just thank you. No, I'm good.
Yeah, okay.
It's not always good to say more.
We're doing our homework.
Okay, good to know. I'm sure. I never doubted you guys.
It's a big discussion, but it's needed.
It is, even with us.
Well, we can have it later on as well.
Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
Just I think it's something that to need to be updated on.
Okay, so let's turn to the Securus contract, which is about the tablet and phone calls and entertainment on the tablet and the inmate prison population paying for the cost of the entertainment on the tablet. So you know, basically, we passed the contract, right? And we had a little bit of this discussion in this committee. We had a broader discussion about these concerns in the Democratic caucus, and I thought it might be useful to have everyone come back and just you know have a little more extended conversation about it. I know that you guys are going to address this issue too in Ways and Means. And Ways and Means, at least from my perspective, has a more sort of detailed concern about what the cost per product is and what sort of terms did you negotiate and things of that nature. For me, it's more of a you know philosophical, you know, sort of macro level question about whether it's the right thing to do to have inmates be charged. They're a captive population. They can't go out. It's not like a free marketplace where you can say, well, I don't want to pay this amount for whatever, and I'm going to go over here and purchase the same product for a lesser price kind of thing. And this gets bastardized, right? This argument that the county's making money, because technically the county actually isn't making money off of this. They're off of the particular tablet. They might have a positive cash flow from it, but overall, when you look at the cost of running the jail, et cetera, it's not a profit.
The majority of money goes right back into the inmate population.
Yeah, so there is some concern that they're and not just in Ulster County, just more generally speaking, this debate nationwide is that there might be some exploitation around it, that these inmates are in a system. Let's just take the commissary for example. Maybe the food's not that great, so they turn to get snacks, and the cost of snacks is way more expensive than it would be out in the marketplace outside of the jail. And that there's something exploitive and fundamentally wrong about it, and that we shouldn't be making money even in any sense off of these inmates. That's sort of one side of the debate. The chair of the legislature passed on an article, which I can send to you. I think it's from The Atlantic. I can't remember who sent it out, but or maybe...
The chairwoman did.
Yeah. Yeah, not me.
I just can't remember the publication.
Yeah, I think it was The Atlantic, and it was basically taking a look at these tablets and effectively... This company was saying, hey, the tablets are free. We're going to give these tablets to you. But the cost of entertainment started to break down what the cost was and that what that meant for the average inmate in jail and you know how much they would potentially leave in debt interacting with these services. So that's sort of the broader philosophical debate. And from my perspective, what I'm really sort of curious about is, and you may not be able to answer this, but like, when did this turn occur? You know, because like 40 years ago or 100 years ago, you went to jail, you got your phone calls, you got your meal, and that was, you know, that was it. You weren't, there wasn't this extra service where you could buy an extra bar of soap or whatever else. And then we get into all of these, you know, more profound questions.
Started costing the taxpayer money.
It started, right.
And people, you know, people that are paying taxes were like, I'm not, why should I pay for someone that did something wrong that's in the county jail? Prison for that matter.
Right.
And, I mean, that's like anything else. When I was growing up, and I know I'm aging myself here, but who would have thought that we'd be paying for a bottle of water?
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
When I was a little kid, we're paying for water. Are you kidding me? And it's more to pay for a quart of water than it is if you add it up with gasoline. But on the on the issue of, you know, what we make in the inmate telephone account is about $230,000, and this does offset the annual budget for the jail.
Yeah.
And we also have vehicles that are used to transport the prisoners, and there are about 16 in the fleet, and every year we renew two vehicles. And so, you know, the inmate telephone account is not as restrictive as the commissary funds. So in reality, the account is used to offset the cost of running the county jail and the sheriff's office, which in turn offsets the cost of the county taxpayer. I mean, if you were to say to folks, and the entire operation would be about $500,000 if the county had to pay for it.
Okay.
So it's $274,000 for the actual program, and there's only certain companies that do this, $50,000 in maintenance fees, and you know, the $230,000 that is the revenue, and that revenue again gets turned into doing and putting stuff together for the you know, for the jail.
Yeah.
And the commissary funds on the hand are used to pay the trustees and workers that work at the jail, the housing units, washing machine, dryers, the microwave, the oven, the ice machine, the television, the board games, the ping pong tables, basketball courts. There's an initiative now by the superintendent to get a dipping
workout
station, just to change it up a little bit. And he's also putting going to put together an incentive to put a GED task if you pass it, because in the past right now the jail is not a testing facility. It was in the past, it's not now. And the reason why that is they were taking the exams and taking the tests, just going ABCD just to take it. But there's no incentive for them to pass it. So we're looking at giving them a money incentive to take it and actually pass it. The other thing in reference, we're giving $35,000 to the OSA literacy program. They come to the jail and they teach the folks in the jail how to read and write. And of course, the scanner that you folks approved here also came from this funds, and that's kind of going to help from actually doing the searches on the inmates and making them feel inhuman. So, you know, the money is being used to change things, and you know, if it was the case that the county wanted to pick up the $500,000, then of course the constituents would be very upset that they would have to pay that kind of money for someone, and I'm just being realistic about it. For someone that, you know, whether they're not they're convicted or not, there's no probable cause that they ended up in the county jail. Come January 1st, as you all know, that's going to change anyway.
Right.
It's 60% of the population, which are primarily for bail, are probably going to be out.
Which is also going to lead to a county cost, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
I think the other thing, and I had sort of an informal conversation about this issue, was that there's also a kind of criminal justice, you know, theory behind inmates having access to these tablets and the entertainment on them for good behavior is good incentive to do the right thing and then have access to this stuff.
And I'm glad you put that up. One of the questions on that were submitted to me was in regards to, do they get free phone calls? Well, if they're on the trustees or they're on the laundry details, they do get free phone calls. If there's an emergency and they have to make a phone call, of course we're going to let them make that phone call. These are your general regular phone calls. If there's an urgent cause, all they have to do is submit a request and we'll let them make a phone call.
Okay.
That's paid for out of this fund.
Which would have been, you know, in the era I was speaking about before, like 40 years ago, which is what would have happened anyway. You get a phone call, but you don't get it at will, which it sounds like here you can have phone calls at will. And I think the other thing you raised that might be worth mentioning in a different context was that this isn't just your regular iPad or, you know.
That's correct.
This has software on it that prevents conspiring with other people outside or inside the jail.
There is a law enforcement mm-hmm. you know, aspect to this as well. We do have criminals that are actually put in jail that are lifelong criminals and are still running their organizations from within the jail. Law enforcement requires information at times, and that is also used as a tool. In regards to the messaging, the tablet side of it, as you know, the cost of the phone calls went down from 22 cents to 14 cents, and if you look statewide, it's one of the cheaper deals. They don't have to use the messaging, but I also suspect it's an easier way for them to communicate with their loved ones and to feel like they have something to do. Sitting inside of a county jail takes a very long time. It's a lot of, you know, restless time. And so for them to have something else, and yes, it's, it does cost money, but the option is there, but they don't have to do that if they don't want to.
Right, so they could decide on a tablet.
They could just
do
the phone call.
Right.
It's not going to be obligated.
Okay. I have a ton more. Go ahead, Jonathan.
No, so I, you know, in the past, I've always had concerns about certain contracts, especially when you look, you know, even in this instance with a company where I believe this company and another company who I believe was the previous contract holder, you know, essentially are the two companies that rule this industry. And you see that a lot amongst the private prison industry. You know, it's a millions and millions of dollar industry. So, you know, that's always giving me pause. However, and I commend your office for this, is that this contract, and especially thanks to your deputies who, you know, worked through some of my concerns, the previous meeting is so significantly better than the previous contract that was in place. And I think such a more positive step forward, you know, just based on the pure rate, you know, for call and stuff, and then actual, you know, what we're getting back from the tablet program in terms of actual value, in terms of what, you know, the, you know, compared to the, I think, the Samsung tablet program that was currently being operated that we had purchased separately. So I think, you know, it's definitely a really good step forward, and I commend you guys for that, for just, you know, coming in and taking a positive step. But I think my still concern, just, you know, in the future, in a broader look, is, and you know, this was really brought to me by a constituent who had a son in their early 20s incarcerated in our county facility, and it wasn't even their own that it impacted them in this sense, but it was the parents' observation of those his son was serving time with, and the fact of, because we talk about costs here, but it's not the inmate that are paying these costs. It's the families that are the most impacted. It's the grandmother, it's the family that, you know, is trying to support their loved one in the facility that's really reaching into their pockets and trying to be a support system. So, you know, I think, you know, I was curious, you know, because he, you know, once you start, he kind of went through it, just what his basic costs were for him to feel like he was supporting the son who was dealing with addiction issues and had ended up incarcerated. Because, you know, and I'd be curious what the list is, you know, because it's, you know, commissary, phone and tablets, but also I believe, I don't know if this is still, there's a locker fee.
The locker fee is 25 cents. It's the same as what was happening was they were taking the keys with them and we had to get new locks.
Okay.
So that's one of the first things I noticed is why are we charging?
Yeah.
And it's just like
getting a car. Okay, but is there any additional besides, you know, the food, you know, the food, and then the phone and tablets? Is there any additional types, you know, type programs in which we have similar contracts?
To my knowledge, I think those are the big three. I don't know any other ones. I did send the commissary list to Jay.
Yeah, I got it. If I can pass it around.
Yeah, and I think, again, just going, you know, my, it's just, you know, how can we work to best find that balance to allow, you know, those of, you know, low economic ability to still be a support system for those who are incarcerated, because at the end of the day, you know, they're footing the bill, and these are multi-million-dollar companies that we're dealing with, and just where we find the balance and the fairness that I think, you know, we all want to see.
I know. I've been there for 34 years, and I started working on the, you know, So it was pretty much on the same principle for the technology at the time. And they were making collect calls to wherever to make their phone calls. But still, you know, they U.S. mail, and now they'll be able to have some ability to do some messaging through the tablet.
Which is good, yeah.
No, I definitely think it's a good
thing. I understand the concerns in regards to the
family. I've had family members in jail. I'm very familiar. It's not college. It's jail.
We also have to
play some more along.
Yep.
And it is. It's a tough balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, I think that's the toughest part.
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you.
Actually, as recently as yesterday afternoon, I had a constituent come up to me regarding the tablet program. She had read an article in one of the only local newspaper that ran an article about this. And I did miss the July meeting. I don't know if the tablets were discussed there.
They were more extensively discussed in caucus, I think.
Okay.
We did discuss it, but not as extensively.
But is it true that they will have access to Skype?
No.
Okay. Inmates will have access to Skype, voicemail, and the ability to access jail programs and services. So,
is that coming from the article? Or the,
yes.
Okay.
So, and then my constituent came up to me and
Bill
said,
"Bill Kimball's close.
They're not going to be able to FaceTime and
elected officials."
Oh, that would be perfect.
I don't care.
So Skype is incorrect. I don't have to worry about them Skyping home or anything.
No.
But when you talk about the voicemail or the messaging system, what does that entail? And it's a fee-based program?
It is kind of like a texting type.
So, okay, so a texting app.
Right. Like
so not a voicemail app.
I'll give more details. I don't believe it's a voicemail.
Okay. Because I really,
yeah,
I think
your PowerPoint here.
I agree with it being utilized
or
as both, you know, a punishment. Because this
entire
administration used tablets, and I think that's great. But when I heard about the Skype, I thought that just.
Yeah, I know the last meeting they actually had a representative.
Try to make me look good and
not
mess up anyway.
Okay.
But those prison services are actually educational, I can see.
That's what I was trying to explain.
Where they can actually access educational opportunities and apps and things like that.
Okay.
But yeah, we really want to improve. We don't want them just sitting there looking at TV.
That's what
we
I was
really
wondering.
We really want to improve them.
But they
can
watch TV through the app? I mean, is it Netflix?
That's limited. They can get movies.
And they, it's,
that's
and
a
this,
pay.
It's a pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they do have televisions that they use now.
Some of them free.
A lot of them are.
The idea of this is to afford them more services.
And to give them something to do, which is going to make...
Yeah, your iPad. It's on your iPad.
And make
doing their time easier. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And improving themselves as an education.
I like the educational component, definitely. I think that's great.
They can do their GED. They have access to Westlaw.
I understand they can do their GED, but we just spoke about possibly monetarily incentivizing it. I thought that obtaining your GED while incarcerated would be the incentive, but clearly not for everyone. I'm
not
because
they just signed. They're just doing ABs. They're not.
Yeah.
That's why they're not. That's why they left the facility as a testing site, because it just wasn't productive.
And I believe that what I have there that I just passed to Legislator Haynes is the PowerPoint from Securus Technology, and that was presented, or it's going to be presented.
It was presented at Ways and Means.
Oh, it is on your tab. Oh, good, great.
So it deals with the e-messages. It explains that a bit.
I think that this is great. Look, it has 50 addiction and mental health podcasts updated daily, so that could be used in conjunction with some of the recovery services that you may be providing while they're incarcerated.
It's kind of interesting because you're really sort of talking about a class hierarchy within the jail, too. Those who come with money or come from families with money can have access to all of this stuff without financial strain. And those who don't have to go old school and use mail and, you know, have phone calls. So you're seeing this sort of economic inequality enter into the jail system too, which I think is another concern for some of us. Whereas others might say, oh, that's the free market, that's the way it is. And those are just different philosophical perspectives. Are there any... I have a ton of follow-up questions here that are more detailed that I don't think I want to really bother EU with in the sense, I think, you know, if this data can be provided, like the number of movies downloaded and things like that.
I'll get that for you. Why don't you want to send me an email with all the questions? Once this contract is installed and in place, we will be able to get that information.
And you guys are in a bind, right, because this is just the landscape, right? This is, as you point out, there's the reality of if we provide these services to everyone free of cost in the jail, then the taxpayer pays for it. And it's not insignificant. It's $500,000. And then you're dealing with the other end of it, as Jonathan pointed out. These are companies that make a hell of a lot of money off the backs of people who, you know, have some issues that they're obviously grappling with, and that's part of the reason why
there's only five companies that do this.
Terribly competitive.
And I think it's this one and the
right. I mean, you could say that it's not any different. It's just a different context, right?
So
I think there's this, you know, cauldron of concerns, and I think what's really important to convey is that you're getting peppered with these questions, although it's the structure, and you're operating within it and doing the best that you can.
We're mindful.
Right.
Situation has a full statewide contract, but it's only a handful.
And I think you guys have done a wonderful job, by the way, with the concerns that we had the last time around, renegotiating this contract and really being thoughtful about some of the concerns that were raised while being realistic about what we're dealing with. So I want to recognize it as well. Ken?
This is going to be the most unpopular thing that has been said so far, but,
okay.
You know, when I hear these conversations about, you know, some inmates, you know, are going to be able to afford to have the, you know, iPad services and media services and whatnot, I think about all the constituents of mine and of Heidi's and of yours and of Jonathan's who go the extra effort not to end up in the county jail, who can't afford to have these things at their homes when they're free.
Right.
And, you know, I think that that's where some of the animus comes from, you know, about, well, don't go to jail. That sort of comment comes from a place where I can't afford this outside of jail, but because these people have ended up in the county jail, you know, whether they're pre-trial or post-trial, they've as the sheriff had mentioned earlier, you know, they're at least there's enough probable cause to hold them in jail. You know, and again, that's going to change in January on how many people are going to be in there pre-trial. But that's the concern that I have, and that's the concern that gets relayed to me from my constituents when I'm out, you know. And it's a concern that's been raised statewide as the state prisons move towards tablets. I support their presence in the county jail, aside from all of the reasons that have been stated here, because they create better behavior, because they're you know, because they're a privilege. And I've spoken to state corrections officers. I've spoken to your corrections officers here at the county. You know, they do create a better environment inside the jail because, you know, like every privilege that you have when you're in the jail, if you misbehave, you lose the privilege.
Right.
I just felt like that needed to be said.
Yeah, I mean, you raise an important point. I mean, in the city of Kingston, there are, you know, I've been to meetings, school board meetings, for example, where the school board, so some member will stand up and say, you can get this on the internet, and people in the audience will say, internet, that's really
expensive,
I don't have.
Yeah.
So I, you know, and I think these, again, go to the heart of some of the philosophical differences about how do you handle inmates,
mm-hmm.
And what do you do with them while they're in jail, and I think the concern, at least in the caucus, was that there was an exploitation. Right, that there's some measure of fairness,
mm-hmm.
given the conditions that we're all trying to deal with.
I mean, when you look at the commissary pricing list, I mean, it's not scalping. It's not double or triple what the product would be outside of jail.
Right. That's been the concern.
Yeah, you know, I think if I want a Kit Kat bar, it's probably almost exactly as much as it is in the commissary.
You can get canned mackerel too.
There's a lot of stuff you can get in there.
Salmon flakes.
There is not a grocery store in my district that has all these things. Just FYI.
Yeah.
But we're without a grocery store in my district right now. We got nothing.
Yeah.
Food desert.
It's called
food desert.
Yeah. Concerns.
Yeah.
And
I started my career as a correction officer in 1979 in state prisons, and I was a trooper and street cop, mad dog street cop, as we say. And we're back to really improve the conditions of this. The sheriff and I have had conversations. We want our inmates leaving better than we got them.
Right.
And it costs money.
Right.
It does. And if we can somehow defray that cost from the taxpayer, that's what we're trying to do without exploiting them.
Right.
And we want them to go back to society better.
Right.
And we also want to be aware of, we don't want the jail so much better than where they come from that they want to keep coming back to jail.
Right.
So.
Right. There's a lot to think about in balance.
Yes.
Is there any?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, and thank you. Oh, and I'm gonna let. If it's okay with you, I'm gonna let Hillary ask a question. But before I do that, I just want to say thank you. This was a very open conversation. It could have been one that was defensive or heated. And even though I completely disagree with Ken,
it's all right.
I'm worthy.
There's nobody in the world who I would rather have completely disagree with me than Lynn Eckert.
Okay,
so
I think all these viewpoints are really very, very helpful. So Hillary, please feel free.
At the July 19th Ulster County Legislature meeting, Kathy Nolan, when you were having this discussion about the contract with Sakaris, she mentioned that there are people in the Ulster County Jail who are there awaiting adjudication. And it sounds like you're also talking about this being a change that's going to happen statewide as of January 1st. I'm just wondering, do you have a sense of how many people are in the jails who are there because they can't afford bail? And how does that work in terms of paying for things while they're in jail?
Right.
When they haven't been found guilty or innocent yet.
So
right?
The first part of your question, the average is about 60% of the folks in jail are there because of bail. They can't make bail. And the purpose of bail is to make sure you show up to court. That's always been the reason why. And that's only going to change on January 1st.
Yeah, ain't no
I suspect there'll be a role in a reduction of folks in the county jail for about 6 or 7 months. But I also believe, talking to other states, and just doing a little research, that these numbers are going to go up back again. And they're not going to be as high as they are when we're having 250, 260 a month. But they are going to come back up because criminals are not, now that they don't have to go to court, they're not going to go to court. And now we have to develop warrant squads and individuals that don't want to be 5 years probation. What they'll do is they'll take a year in the county jail. Now, there's not going to be any more time served because there's no bail.
Right.
So there's a lot of issues that aren't being spoken about, how it's going to affect probation, how it's going to affect the jail. But there will be a lull, but eventually I think the numbers will kind of level off. They're not going to be the same as they are now. I see it now. When I first took office in January, we had over 250 folks in the county jail. Well, we're down to about 183, and it's been like that for about 4 weeks. It's been gradually going down, so I think the court system is already looking at the future and putting some of these, some of this in place already. Now, what was the second point of your question? Because I couldn't hear you.
And when you say 250 people in jail and it's down to 183, you're talking about people who are there who couldn't make bail?
No, we're talking total.
Oh, total.
Total, yeah. So 60%
of the whole jail population?
Right.
Oh, that's not bad.
Right.
The second part.
Well, your concern was like they're in there and they're not, they haven't been convicted.
Right.
And they're being charged. I mean, one of the things that Legislator Nolan suggested, and I didn't bring it up because the bail issue is going to be eliminated, so this matter will be essentially moot, is that maybe we should put in place legislation that said free phone calls or even potentially free tablet use until conviction.
Well, see, you're putting a burden on the taxpayer, the person that, again, it's probably because they're not convicted, true. But there's enough probable cause to put them into the system. Is that fair for a taxpayer to pay for that? We are all responsible to look at saving money for the taxpayer because they're the ones who will put the bill. And so it is a tough balance. I understand the concerns from our legislator Hefner in regards to the family, because they're the ones who are paying, and there's people that can't afford that. What's the alternative? Having the taxpayer pay for it. So that's the balance that we have to maintain. Remember, these funds are going back into the system. It's never going to leave. It's going back into the system to make their lives better. Whether it's getting a new TV or a new basketball hoop or another ping pong table because it broke, or new carpeting, or things that make the place a little better.
Things that if this, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Things that if this weren't there would be discretionary items in the county budget. Which, because we have these funds that have been, achieved through commissary, through phones, through tablets, that, are being reinvested into the inmate's experience.
For example, you get an individual that is not, he shows up in the county jail. And again, this will be due in January, but he's there on bail. And it might be a drug charge. How easy it is to bring contraband into the jail. And we have to strip search him because he was arrested. And again, it's an allegation.
And it's invasive.
Scanner,
right, it's an invasive
right.
search. Right,
the scanner's going to eliminate that.
The scanner's going to eliminate that. And that scanner came from the funds. That's going to make everybody's life a little bit easier. Again, it's a hard balance when you're talking taxpayer money and individuals that there's enough probable cause to put them in the prison system or the jail system.
I think what helps in this conversation is your willingness to recognize that there's this, fair concern about exploitation.
Right.
I think that really helps.
Well, I'm already, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about how to actually come up with some plan in regards to the family members. Is there some sort of incentive? If a family member spends this amount of money, maybe we can get them some sort of discount. I'm just sitting here thinking about it when he brought it up.
Right.
So.
And I wonder, too, because there have been some counties that have said, this stuff is going to be free, right? They're few, they're rare, and I guess in those instances, I'd have to go back and check the taxpayers paying the burden. And also the other component of that would be once they eliminate and the taxpayers paying the burden for these tablets, any money or the commissary, whatever it is, any money being made isn't being spent, reinvested. So in some odd way, their lives may be even more difficult.
It's not free. Nothing's
not
free. Somebody's
right.
going to pay.
Right.
That's how you got to look at it. Someone's going to pay. We got to strike that balance.
Right.
And like we said, we are very limited in how we use this money. It has to be reinvested into the inmate population.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to
just to add the Colonel's comment, that $35,000 that's going to Ulster Literacy. We have to call up the State Commission on Corrections to make sure that was okay.
Yeah.
Doing that. And when we do that, we have to come. See you.
Yeah.
So nothing that we do is not anything that's
it's transparent.
Right, it's transparent.
We have this processes that we have to do.
Can I put John on the spot?
Oh boy.
Are these issues that the county executive is aware of? Thinking about any discussion in the office at all?
Well, all the resolutions come through the office, and we did see this recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
This discussion is good to hear because obviously some concerns are being brought up, and I do appreciate it. I think the sheriff has eloquently stated the balance aspect.
Right.
I think you have that right, but
right.
Again, it's going to be ultimately here a legislative decision to relook if necessary. But it's again, the cost.
Very complex. Because the other issue involved that I didn't mention was the food. We had the food contract issue, and I don't know if you guys recall that, but
fresh
we debated
fruit.
About right. Ken describes it as he sort of reduces it to fresh fruit. But
That was the chairwoman's biggest point.
But
I believe the record shall reflect.
There was a concern about the quality of the food and whether the quality of the food, as it was contracted out, wasn't good enough, and then inmates were feeling forced effectively to go to commissary and then pay these high prices. So it seems to be an ongoing concern in a lot of different aspects of running the jail, which has become in a sense privatized.
We are aware of certain issues and the CEO or the company to discuss the issues.
Well, okay, well, but that's fantastic to hear, because there was some negative feedback about it.
You just had me laughing because I just thought of an army mess hall.
Right.
Try and eat some of that food.
Well, right. I mean, when we took.
Now that the undersheriff has said that, you know, when it was Aramark, you know, the Aramark was the company that did the food at the high school, middle school, elementary school that I went to. I mean, it's the same. It's that same kind of food.
Institutional.
And you know, quite frankly, you know, I was one of the kids who wasn't sent in with money to buy ice cream or a bag of chips or something like that. I would get the pizza or sloppy joe or whatever they were serving that day. That's what makes me crazy about the food argument. I remember eating that food as a kid, and I remember it not being, you know, like slop, like you know, army mess hall kind of food. You know, it was.
Yeah.
Let me say, we do hire a dietitian. Somebody who is a specialist in the field, and they do the caloric intake, they do all of that sort of thing. It's not like we just whip this up.
Right.
And on our tour, I saw apples on every single table. Every single table. And I made sure to point it out so I wasn't the only one that saw it.
I know. I know, I heard about it.
Yes, please go ahead. It wasn't just the meals, but we need to take into consideration that we do have local staff there. I think some of your kitchen COs, would that be the correct term for them? They had actually taken a pay cut. So that they wouldn't have to leave once Aramark wasn't there.
Yeah, there was a new company
came in. There was a new contract for them. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we at the legislature, we took that vote thinking only about higher, you know, questions about the quality of the food and all of that stuff without thinking about what that might mean for the people who were actually contracting with Aramark. And then when we took a tour of the jail, many of those people had to take a pay cut because of the change in the contract or were leaving. So I think, you know, those are unintended consequences as we sit up here and we sort of talk about these issues, which I think are important. I'm not suggesting we don't talk, but there are unintended consequences that we hadn't thought through. And I think the tour of the jail was very eye-opening for us, and many of us thought, geez, you know, we wish we had known that before making these decisions. So
it could have been written into the contract or
that they
couldn't
have been. They had to keep the same wage rate or whatever.
I think this is like a 3-year contract.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
With probably 2 1-year extensions.
Which is really, you know, us advocating for tours. Any other comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And having such a respectful and open conversation. And with that, I will any announcements? Anybody want to make announcements before we adjourn? I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
You're adjourned.
All right, what's everybody's schedule address?